Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X CEO, Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have two leaders within Titan Restoration Corporation or company. And we have with us today, we have Russ Palmer, who is the president. Welcome, Russ.
Thank you.
Yeah, pleased to have you here. And with Russ is Rachel Stewart. She is the Executive Vice President. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here.
I'm thrilled. We've been talking about this for a while, right? Which is fun to finally land here and get to know a little bit about you and your company. So either one of you, if you could start with us, just tell us, you know, kind of the basics of who is Titan Restoration and who do you serve?
Well, I guess I'll go. Titan Restoration is a specialty contractor that fixes homes and businesses after a flood or a fire. So unfortunately, we get to meet people at their worst times, but that's basically what we do. We get to come in and fix homes and businesses and see what's going on and how bad it can be and kind of give them a light at the end of the tunnel.
Residential and commercial.
Both residential and commercial, yes.
And just here in Arizona?
In the Phoenix metro area mostly, and then we will go a little bit further outside of that. So.
Mm-hmm. And did you found the company, either of you, or tell me a little bit about your how you came to be part of this? There's a smile there. I can't wait to hear the story.
So Titan Restoration, or an iteration of it, started back in about 1996. I was going to Mace Community College at the time, needed a job, and so I bought a carpet cleaning van. And it was a rusty old, like, early 80s Ford van that looked really like it was on its last legs, but I was cleaning carpets for a property management company that my cousin owned. And inevitably, I came across a flooded apartment. I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do? How does this work? What happens? How do I do this? How do I handle this? And through that process, I realized that, oh wow, I really enjoy this. This is really fun. I really like the floods. And so I started at that time, I started a company called Flood Pro, had a partner at the time. And so while I was going to college, we did floods and carpet cleaning at the time and just did that all through college. And then I went through ASU and was in the accounting program there. And then halfway through my senior year, the partnership started to break up. And so I had to make a decision. I had a wife, two kids. I had to make a decision. Do I gut it out for another, you know, 3-4 months to get a degree and start a new career, or focus on what I'd really like and enjoy? And so that's kind of what I did. I dropped out and focused on what I enjoyed and really started building Flood Pro at the time. And then about 2005, I had a working partnership with Titan Restoration, which was a general contractor. So I would do the floods, turn it over to Titan Restoration, they would do the repairs. And in 2005, I ended up buying that company and Titan Restoration became full service, where we did the floods and the reconstruction.
Well, I love that story. And you didn't finish your degree.
No.
Yeah.
It's still...
Ever thoughts that you might go back and just get that as well?
Some days when I feel ambitious, yeah. But most of the time, I'm just like,
your plate is full, right?
Yeah. They go back to the kids and the family and the business and everything else that's growing. And maybe I'll check that off someday, but not right now.
Yeah. Not that you have to. I just thought I'd ask. Now, how did you come to be part of this?
So then in 2008, Russ was looking for somebody to kind of manage his office and his bookkeeping. And so it was kind of, I don't know, fate that I ended up in that position. I was a stay-at-home mom prior to that. My husband had, we had just bought a house. It was at the peak of 2006 and everything. And so then in 2008, when, you know, the recession hit and everything happened, I was in a position where I needed to go back to work. And so wasn't really qualified to do much of it.
It even says that in the little bio. And I was like, what does this mean? It says Rachel Stewart started as an unqualified office manager. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to hear that story. So really from homemaker.
Yeah.
With clearly, I mean, you got to admit, homemakers have a lot of skills.
A lot of
but
skills.
But jumping into managing an office like this, you're like, okay, bring it on.
Yeah. So didn't really know what I was doing and had to be self-taught in a lot of things. But I like to say that I've been unqualified for most of the roles I've ever held. And so this is no different than that. So I just kind of dug in and we, you know, put some processes in place and started hiring a team and put some goals in place. And it wasn't long after that that, you know, we were growing and expanding, and I kind of moved up as the company grew. And so it's been a really great adventure.
She being humble?
She is. It's what's ironic, though, is I didn't get a degree from ASU, but that's where I met her husband, Kent.
Oh.
And so we were in the need for a bookkeeper office manager, and I reached out to Kent, and I said, hey, Kent, you interested? You know, I knew he had just recently graduated and was doing a CPA, and he said, nah, for my money, I'd hire my wife. And I'm like, what's her qualifications? And he basically said, well, she's a graphic designer.
Hey, it's an honest answer. And you're like, okay, she's hired.
Yeah, sure. You know, you recommend her. Sure. Let's. So we did the interview and went through the interview process, and something in the interview, we saw something in there, and it's been
a good fit.
Been magical, good fit. Yeah.
Yeah. And the business, it's friends and it's family and it's everything that you're doing. I know that since you've been on board, y'all have gone from 2 million to 22 million.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, holy cow. So something magical is happening here. And you mentioned that the team grew. So who else? Are there any major players that, I mean, we could name the whole team, but I don't know. We don't have time for that all day. But who all is leading the team? Is it just the two of you?
So we have an executive management team that we are thrilled about. And so it was just the two of us probably until about 2016. And then we knew that if we were really going to scale, we needed to be able to expand that leadership team. And so we've spent the last several years really trying to grow that leadership team.
Smart.
And so we've got a good team of individuals that are working, you know, with us every day. And that's been such a pleasure, really. It's been amazing.
And a lot of business owners and our executive teams can't see through the trees enough to be able to say, we might be stifling the business, or we might be just keeping us at a plateau. We need to bring on more people. So it's really incredible that you guys made that decision.
Yeah, we did. Thank you. It was partially intentional and partially unintentional. So I see on your shelf there, you got the book Traction.
Yeah, you're familiar.
I know of it. So yeah. I've never read it. I'll take that. But there's the two parts. There's the integrator and the visionary. What we did, what happened when Rachel came on board is I hired the integrator. And so we had that. I was able to provide vision. And as I was super naive in the beginning, didn't know a whole lot. But at the time, I would come into Rachel and say, hey, I've got some good ideas. And I would look over and she's making a checklist. I'm like, okay. So at some point, I'd come in and say, okay, I've got some ideas. Don't write down checklists. Let me just bounce off some ideas and let's work through these and see if they're actually worth exploring or not. And later on, as we look back at hindsight, it's that integrator implementer from Traction is what really helped out a lot. And so there was those two roles that were key, but got filled pretty quickly. The other thing is we had consultants or coaches along the way, you know, and that was one of my first hires. I hired the consultant. He said, hey, you need somebody to come in and run your office and do that part. And I was like, I can't afford that. And he said, well, you got to get somebody in here to run it anyway. So I listened to him like a good employee should, or, you know, a client should. And so that's where Rachel came in, and she took to coaching really, really well. And so she was always super excited to learn and grow and develop. And so it's kind of blossomed from there.
Would you both say that coaching and that kind of guidance outside looking in has been a big part of your success? I mean, I know I've always had coaches in my life for a variety of things. There's not many things that I can do without having somebody who's been there before me kind of guide me.
100% critical. I mean, I would attribute most of our success to just the ability to continue to learn and to take feedback and to be able to see what you can't see because you're so close to it, and have that coaching and mentoring and stretching, being able to see like five steps ahead, like, okay, what kind of leader am I going to need to be in 5 years? And then having somebody help try to develop that in you and train and give you that difficult feedback sometimes.
Or the really help important. To break through the glass ceiling that you self-impose.
Right.
A lot of times we're like, oh, this is as good as I'm going to be. I can't get it. You know, that's all anybody's ever been. But you have a coach or somebody who says, no, you can break through that. You can stretch. There's, you know, get out of your comfort zone. And so that really helps.
It's so fascinating. I've been doing Business Radio X now. It's a licensor, so there's a bigger network, and the Phoenix studio is mine. I'm at that point where I know I can go to my corporate team and get the help, but I also know I've been talking to some people here at Max 6 who have built big enterprises, and I don't know that this needs to be, you know, huge like what you're doing, but I want somebody else to kind of guide. So I've been talking about an advisory board, some of those decisions. It's fun to look at what you're doing, you know, all these years ahead of where I am right now, because these are the decisions we need to make. We need to get out of our own way and have somebody say, wow, have you looked at it through this lens? Or have you thought about adding, you know, this, even just like you merging your, not merging your companies, but bringing in full circle with Titan Restoration and buying that in addition to what you're already doing with the cleanup, right? That's huge. That's a very strategic decision. And sometimes we don't always have that sitting right there to do it, or even the courage to do it. So it sounds like you've picked the right mentors and guides and coaches to bring you along the way.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal. Yeah. Really great.
Good. What has been the most challenging aspect? We've talked a lot about the right decisions that you guys have made, but what do you think has been the most challenging aspect of building your business up to this point?
So I think it's also the most rewarding. It's the most challenging, and like when you get it right, it gives you the most return. But definitely, I think people agree with this all the time. It's employees. It's the people and getting the right people and developing the right people, retention, you know, making sure that you have a culture that, you know, continues to create growth opportunities and different avenues for people to reach their dreams. So I think that that's the biggest challenge, but also has been the most rewarding.
Mm-hmm. And does that fall into your lap as far as hiring, or is it really both of you are responsible for that?
So for a lot of years, that was me. Now we have an HR specialist that handles all the recruiting, and she's way better than I ever was. So.
And there's strategy to that.
Yes.
And there's culture is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
How would, if someone were to come and kind of shadow you guys or something like that, or you were out having coffee with somebody and you were telling them about your culture, how would you describe Titan Restoration culture?
So this is interesting because we have this conversation a lot, but what we think the word that explains our culture the most is a growth culture. So we have a lot of core values that are in play, and that kind of makes up what that looks like. But if you're not somebody that wants to stretch and grow and continue to push the status quo, go for the next big milestone, then you're probably not going to either love it or thrive at Titan. But that being said, we found so many people that it's become a family, you know, and so there's really that sense of community, that sense, you know, we've had employees that have been there for a long time. I'm going on 11 years and I'm not alone in that. And we have a lot of companies that have a lot of tenure or a lot of employees that have a lot of tenure. So what would you say, Russ?
The culture is huge and it's intentional. That was kind of one of the first things when Rachel first joined the company. I mean, we kind of had a culture that was, you know, loose and you know, we liked having a lot of fun at the time and when Rachel came in. But at the same time, we had to get really intentional as we started to grow as to who we are, which is kind of where we backed up and really identified like our core values and our purpose and kind of why we were in business. And so when we identified that, it made it a whole lot easier to identify the people we're looking for. Initially, when we were small, it was easy to just look inside our own network. You know, I grew up here in Mesa, and it's, not a very big town. And so there was a lot of people inside my network that I was able to pull from and bring into the Titan family.
He's like the mayor. You go anywhere with Russ, he knows everybody.
I love that.
Sometimes.
And yet you have to have a strategy beyond referrals and your inner network, right?
Yeah, totally. And so once we got away from just outside of the network, it was like, okay, now how, as we're looking for additional people and bringing those in, what are our strategies? How do we hire and fire? And so we created what are called position profiles. And then we also have those based on our core values. And there's a book called Who that we've read and implemented and really gone through the top grading and the whole process of hiring. Labor's tight. Construction, it's even tighter. And so it's really, really crazy. And so we had to get super intentional about it and get people who like thriving inside our culture. And a lot of times, you know, we're not the highest paying company out there, but because of the culture, the freedoms, and everything that they're allowed, we do have a lot of employees that decide to stick around.
As many conversations as we've had with as many different industries and verticals, I hear that a lot. A lot of folks say, you know, we've got, this is our culture, and everybody's slightly different, or sometimes vastly different. And we start speaking about especially the younger generations that's coming up into the workforce, they're looking for culture. They don't necessarily need or want to have the highest paying job. Some do, but more so they want to know, just like Rachel was speaking to, that they are a good fit and that they, if they decided to and you wanted them there, they could be there long term. Because we know, at least in my generation and beyond that, that when we just go to the job and punch our card and do our thing and we come home, if we're not happy at work, we're not happy at home, or vice versa. So we have to really kind of look at it holistically. And it sounds like you lead from that place.
Purpose is huge for them too. Like,
yeah.
There has to be something bigger than a paycheck, like you alluded to. So
yeah, I can't remember which story it is or which company, but I'm picturing kind of like the Home Depot story, like the guy who knows on the forklift, you know, even though he's, I'm doing air quotes, just the forklift guy, if somebody were to ask him, if with the right culture, they know exactly their purpose and why they're there and how important their role is for everything else, all the way on up from, you know, from the CEO and CFO all the way down and the customers in between. So it sounds like you guys make sure that everybody really fits in, not only to the culture, but they also understand the role that they play.
Yeah, and I think our industry makes that super easy to tap into a purpose, because
yes,
we're helping people through really difficult times so they can get a sense of meaning and purpose in what they're doing, but then also, you know, tie that into what the company's vision is. And, you know, we have a big, hairy, audacious goal of being able to support 125 families through meaningful employment in helping other families restore their life. And so, like, being able to know that they're helping other families and then also building their own families and providing opportunities for others who will continue to be able to be employees at Titan as well, it's pretty powerful.
That's huge. And that just runs throughout the whole organization. So, Russ, you spoke to this when we first started this segment. You're meeting people at the most difficult times of lives, likely. I've never experienced a flood or a fire personally, knock on wood. I am going through a personal tragedy right now, which has rocked our world as a family, but it's a medical situation. And thank God for the right people. The medical staff has been incredible. They know how to take care of me and speak to me and make me understand everything, in addition to the way the family's supportive. So you guys come into these businesses and our homes, and there's not only the physical devastation, but the emotional, mental devastation a lot as well.
Yeah, it's really quite crazy. So to kind of put it in perspective, somebody will have a bathtub overflow, and, you know, it'll go into their hallway and their bedroom and you know, the kids' bedroom. You know, Rachel and I have worked together for years. I've got employees I've been friends with for 25, 30 years prior to even Titan Restoration being around. I've never been in their master bedroom. I've never been in their master closet.
And there you are.
There we are. We're walking into somebody's house. Hi, I'm Russ from Titan Restoration, and I'm here to help you out. You just came home from work and your house is completely flooded, and I'm going to go into all your entire house, you know, all your deep, dark secrets we're going to know. And unfortunately, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we're going to try and put you back together as quickly as possible. And so it's a really weird situation, and there's a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, a lot of emotions going on, and we're able to kind of work on that and help the people through. Many times, you know, as we're going through the restoration process and the initial part's over and we're doing the paint and the remodel portion, we become semi-marriage counselors as the husband and wife are trying to decide what color to do, what color, you know, what's going on. And so, you know, it's more than just, you know, slapping paint on the wall and putting new cabinets and countertops on. So it's pretty challenging.
And I would say, like, our customer service has to be on point, because just like you're talking about the situation with your family, like, those medical professionals can either really help you in this devastating situation, or they can compound misery. And so even just slight missteps in customer service can really compound a really difficult situation. So that's something we're trying to talk to our employees about all the time, is like, you really need to be on your A game all of the time to make this situation that much better.
there's two words that keep showing up for me. It may be because of the situation I'm in right now, but also just based on what you're sharing in that example, compassion, respect, and kindness. That goes a long way. Like, you have to be skilled at what you're doing, right? That's where we get the referrals and we get to grow our business. But if we don't have the foundational levels of compassion and respect and kindness and ability to communicate, like you described, as you walk into their home and you just kind of put the elephants in the room. Let me speak to the elephant in the room. We're here. We're going to be looking through all areas of your home. You can trust us. We're here to help you, right? Like, that's got to take a lot of the air out of the room and everybody take a deep sigh and trust that whoever is there to represent your team is going to do it with kindness and decency.
Absolutely. You know, and being able to meet them where they're at, you know, and a lot of times that means communicating multiple times, because when you come and you're in the middle of that situation and their mind's thinking about a million things and you're explaining the process of what will happen, how an insurance loss goes, because that's complicated. There's a lot of hands involved, all of those kind of things. So having to explain that multiple times so that they get a chance
without
to process
frustrated
it and hear it.
Yeah, that's wise. And everybody is trained. You're making sure that everybody knows how to show up. Those who are your customer forward and they're with them, they are aware of that. It's the psychology of being in the business that you're in.
Totally.
Yeah, fascinating. So you do both, obviously, home restoration and business after floods and fires. What's the most impactful thing that a company or business can do to be prepared for an unexpected event? Like, I wouldn't even know.
I think that's the key right there, is to have a plan of who you're going to call and have a relationship formed before it happens. And especially for a business, because, you know, once your business shuts down for a certain period of time because you bring in the wrong contractor, you know, somebody that isn't focused on keeping you up and running, because we find that that's really important, is how quickly can we get a business up and running or keep them up and running in the midst of all of this. So having a plan and having relationships in place, knowing who those first couple phone calls is really important.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really, really huge. Ironically, I got called, it's been years, probably 12 or 13 years ago, got called out to a flood, and it was to a business. And ironically, it was for an insurance agency. They were the ones that wrote and sold their own policy, and come to find out they were extremely underinsured because they had been experiencing growth and they had been growing fast and just hadn't got around to reviewing their own policy. Like Rachel said, having that relationship with your insurance adjuster, yeah, there's a lot of guys you can go online and get some stuff on there, but having a relationship with an insurance adjuster, or not adjuster, but an agent prior to, is extremely important. They can kind of help navigate some of the shortcomings. The other things we run into a lot are renters without renter's insurance. If you don't have renter's insurance, go get it. It's cheap. It's, you know, it's relatively cheap, and the amount of heartache it saves when something happens, because inevitably it will. And then just having a plan. This is the other thing, like Rachel said, just the plan is knowing who to call, what to do as businesses go. I think there's statistics saying a business that's experienced a flood or a fire will fail after about 5 years.
Wow.
60%.
Wow.
And then
because of the devastation and and having likely not had a plan for a contingency plan for what happens if, and then they can't recover.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is the speed at which they can get back up and operational. The longer that goes on, even if you do have insurance and you're getting that, you know, the loss of income, you know, it's still where your customer's going. So as soon as, you know, the lights go back on, has everybody found a new place to do business? So the speed at which you can get your business back up and running. And we've had several big projects recently that have kind of attested to that. I don't know if you want to speak to any of those.
Well, it's like Rachel said, we actually did one in downtown Phoenix. There was a fire. The day of the fire, their customers were getting calls by the competitors saying, hey, they're no longer able to service you.
Oh, no.
Come to us. And so you run into that a lot. The other thing is, a lot of policies don't even reimburse you until you've been out of business for 3 days. So there's, for business income, business interruption, you know, and it's, you know, it's just like Rachel said, it's super critical the amount of time, just what kind of plan can you have? What partnership can you have with the restoration company that's not there just to do the job, but also do the job and make sure you're still around, you know, in the future and that's going on.
And you mentioned policy. So as you both were talking, I was not only thinking about the contingency plan and actually looking ahead to what the kind of the what if scenarios are we prepared? What if this? What if that? And it sounds like, you know, just if somebody were in a relationship with you, a business, that you would help them kind of look through that lens, right? But then also speaking to policy and insurance or and even lease agreements. Tenant agreements, like you kind of have to know. We sign these things and then we forget them or we don't even read them until it's too late. And again, I'm looking at a situation with our medical situation like, holy cow, had I known, we would have made some very different decisions. So right. I don't think it's any different here what we're talking about.
We experience that all the time. It's like, oh, I thought I was insured for this. I thought I was covered for this. I thought my policy paid for that. And it's, you know, if the insurance company, that contract or that policy excludes it, then you know, it's on top of your deductible. You're, you know, coming out of pocket for a lot of your money out of for yourself, too.
Mm-hmm. You both have been in the Valley for a long time, and obviously Rachel referred to you as the mayor. So I know you're very well connected. Have you had any challenges attracting clients and staying competitive, even with the nice wide network that you've had?
I think that's always a challenge. It's always a challenge. So, you know, when I was coming into the industry, it was right during the recession. And so there were so many contractors that were not building new homes or that kind of work and started getting into restoration. So the landscape has always been competitive. And we see a new restoration contractor on, you know, opening up shingles every day, it seems like. So I think it's always really important to be staying on your A game, to be looking at what your marketing approach is, figuring out what your strategy is and being very particular about that. And for us, that's just as much about saying no as it is about saying yes. So being very specific about what kind of work you do and what kind of work you don't do. And we're always looking at our marketing strategy. So this year, we have two new verticals that we're going after. We're being strategic about that. So yeah, it's always a challenge.
What are the verticals? I'm curious.
Healthcare and education.
Of course.
Yeah. Those are two that...
So building relationships and being there so that if something happens, you are the choice. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. And, you know, these are the two verticals that we're talking about are ones that they're not a quick sell. I mean, those are long relationships. There's a long sales cycle. There's a lot of trust and different things that you have to build along the way. So, I think it's always challenging, and even when you're at a certain place, it's whether or not you want to be stagnant or if you want to keep growing. And mm-hmm. at a certain point, then you're always looking at something a little bit different.
Yeah. Tell me about the goals for the future. So we've talked a lot about how you've landed here already, but where do you see yourselves in, you know, this coming year and even maybe 5 years from now as a company? Are there aspirations to grow bigger, to expand, or just continue to be the lead? I know you guys have been referred to as influencers and folks that people are watching in the industry because you've done so well and you have such great service to the clients that you work with. What's next for you, if anything?
Oh, we've got a couple of things in the hopper right now.
There's a lot going on. The biggest thing is we're not growing just for growth's sake. We're intentionally growing to provide additional opportunities for our employees. You know, our frontline water techs. We want to hire those guys that come in that don't want to be a water tech for life. We want them to do a couple of things. We either want them to use that as an opportunity to prepare or save some money to go to school and further their education or do something different as a career. We have past water techs who've joined the police department, fire department. There's others, you know, that are going on to school to be accountants, you know, doctors, just different degrees that they're coming in. We also want to take those guys, if they don't want to go to school, to promote them from within. And the only way to promote from within and give them opportunities is to continue to grow and get bigger and bigger and have more and more jobs there for them. So we're being super intentional about that. And we really started that focus about 3.5-4 years ago to say, hey, we've got great employees. We've got great people here. Let's give them places where they can grow.
Yeah. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, if we have 125 employees that we want to support, right now we have around 50. So we're going to have to triple in size probably in order to be able to do this. And I know that that's not perfect math, but I'm saying like...
No, but so I'm curious. That's a very it feels like a soulful commitment and intention. Right now, you have a team of about 50, and you have a goal to have 120, help 125 families and employees. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. So have 125 people employed that like provide meaningful, you know, support for their family.
How do you land on something like that? It speaks to me because that's a lot how I run my business, and I'm thrilled enough to be part of Conscious Capitalism Arizona. And we all speak about stakeholder involvement, and not only is that, you know, employees, but clients and customers, as well as our vendors and that sort of thing. And you speak like we speak in our growing organization. Can you talk a little bit about how you landed there? What was the impetus for that decision?
I think a lot of that goes back to Russ
and like
the leader he is, and he wanted to be able to provide influence and opportunity. So when it came to like, hey, what is going to be motivating and get people out of bed in the morning? What does he want to, and the legacy he wants? I think that's kind of how that came up.
It's part of growing up in West Mesa too. Got a lot of friends and stuff that are there that didn't go the college route that, hey, how do we continue to provide for our families, get that type of work out there and get that type of opportunities? Plus, it's kind of always been a rising tide raises all ships. And so we've kind of had that same mentality. It's like it's no fun to go somewhere by yourself. So how do we kind of get a group, a bunch of people, a bunch of friends? You know, I've got a brother that works for me. I've got about four or five people that I'd known from high school time that we're all buddies and we're all going to go the same direction. We're all going to, you know, enjoy this time together. It's no fun working, punching a clock and then, you know, showing up, you know, doing your job and then leaving at the end of the day. It's like, how do we be part of something more than just a paycheck? And so that's kind of always the ways I've looked at it is like, how do I do that? Or how do I provide those opportunities? And luckily, I've been, you know, Rachel's been a part of the team and we've got a great team and we've got some great opportunities and we've really been able to capitalize on that and really provide those opportunities.
So I think, you know, it's about impact and like the legacy that you're leaving and, you know, what do you want to be known for? You know, how do you want your employees to see you and the opportunity? So even if they don't stay as employees of Titan, that they always look back on that as like the building block to the rest of their life or their career.
I think that's what we're here to do on Earth, period, right? But not everybody subscribes to that. So it's always a thrill for me to speak with people who are like-minded and have that spirit, and you certainly do. I'm fascinated by our conversation. I'm learning so much, not only about who you are as an organization, but how you're serving and the business itself. Let's talk about from cleanup to rebuild. Not every client will have you for the full thing. Like some folks might have you come in and do the cleanup and they do the work themselves. Or I mean, who's the best client for you, I guess, maybe from a residential perspective and commercial? Is it somebody that is there an answer to that question?
Is there a best client? I don't know.
They're all good clients. Any client that has a flood or a fire. I always tease. A lot of people say, what do you do for work? I'm in the flood business and I live in Phoenix. They're like, what do? Sit around waiting for it to rain?
Right.
But when you look at it, every building has indoor plumbing or electricity. And so something's going to happen at some point. And so, it's, you know.
Anybody really is a anybody who is in a catastrophic loss as it relates to those things, they would be a candidate for you, commercial, residential. And I'm willing to bet. Do you find that people, they kind of, if they aren't already in your network and they're not already familiar with you, do they interview people and kind of get bids and that sort of thing? Is that customary?
Well, it just kind of depends, because if you're standing in a foot of water, like you're probably not calling and asking
three bids and making a big decision.
Like okay. So it depends on where we come in the loss. So at that point, they're just looking for an emergency. It depends on who they're going to. So a lot of them are going to their agent. Who do I call? What do I do? Or, you know, looking at the phone book, which is not the phone book anymore.
Well,
it's the internet.
Sure, Googling it. Yep. Which is why you're here today. We're going to help you with that piece.
Yep.
Thank you.
But if they're coming up, if we're coming in later on in the loss that the water's already been dried out, or you know the fire's already happened, there's no you're not really trying to prevent any more damage. Mm-hmm. Then it's typically that they're doing some research, looking around, calling their insurance company.
So one of the things we've also done this year is our business development, our marketing team, working with an app that they can come out, and they're also they're going out and doing some what's called emergency response planning or ERP planning. So they'll come out and they'll meet with the business. And that's when we talked earlier about having a plan. We're helping construct that plan and create that plan. And so our marketing team will come out. They'll walk the building. They'll understand it. They'll kind of, like, for example, this building here, they'll understand what's going on. Who are the important people to meet? Floods don't happen Monday morning at, you know, 10 a.m. when everybody's here. Usually it's a Friday night, Saturday when nobody's around. And you're like, oh my gosh, what do we do? You know, fire sprinkler went off, water heater burst, something happened. And so, you know, you're almost at the mercy of who do I get? Who's got the most, you know, paying for the most pay-per-clicks on Google? Or do we have a relationship with that? And that can determine the outcome as to how quickly you may or may not be back in business or be open for business. And so we've really, that's one of the areas our marketing company, our marketing guys have really focused on, is working on those pre-disaster plans and going through that and really, you know, kind of handholding and saying, here's some areas we see some issues. You know, have you had a conversation with your agent? You know, when was the last time your policy was reviewed? Do you know your deductible is a percentage, or is it, you know, it's a percentage of policy? Most people don't know that. Some policies are percentage of policy. So yeah. You got a $500,000 policy on your dwelling and you're paying 2% of that. That's a really big deductible.
Trying to shift it.
When I first started, it was $100, $250, and you know, it's kind of gone up from now. And I had one customer who had a $32,000 deductible on his house. And he was like, holy cow, how did this happen? And
right.
Where did this, I don't, you know, he had a nice house, but that's still a lot of money.
So you guys get to help take a peek behind the curtain if something were to happen and help them kind of revisit some of those decisions and go, wait, I got to go fix that. I either need more coverage, less coverage, whatever it is. That's a very smart business relationship building technique.
Yes.
Very wise.
Yeah. It's a little slower build, but we feel like it's providing value, and hopefully they never need us. Hopefully that they're doing some of these things, putting some of these things in place,
mm-hmm.
and they never need us.
Again, I keep comparing it to just my current situation, but not having had a power of attorney established and some of the other, you know, whether it's for financial and medical, those things should have been in place. And the legal team that I work with, they've been on me for a couple of years to do this, not with any other reason other than, like, we're talking about, we didn't expect anything, but same thing here. Like, you don't expect to have a flood. You don't expect to have electrical start a fire or whatever. But if you don't plan in advance and have these decisions already knowing where to go, you're going to be in a place where you're having a lot of difficulty and may not be able to rebuild.
Right.
Or have more costly expenses than you had anticipated because nothing was in place ahead of time.
And just the elimination of stress, like in the situation that you're dealing with, to add that amount of stress on top of everything else that you're dealing with, you know, if you could just eliminate the stress, even if it, you know, all works out in the end, if you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. So from a residential perspective, if there's a flood or some situation that has us where, you know, you guys have got to come in, it'd be great to think about, if that happened in my home, where could I go? Do I have some money for a hotel long term if I need it? Or do I have family and friends in the area, right? Or that rental that, you know, I could boot my tenants out or whatever it is. I'm just making stuff up. But we'd have to think about that. Same thing with business. Russ, you spoke to that. How quickly you can, well, you both did, how quickly you can get back up and running is critical for a business. So what would that look like? Where would we hole up and where would we keep doing this? And are our papers off-site, some of our documents and that sort of thing? Those kinds of decisions, right? That's what you can help us kind of frame up when we sit down and talk with your folks about a plan like this.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that's like the case of the insurance agency that was underinsured.
Right.
You know, they've got, you know, it's like, come on, guys, you're in the business of this. Somebody's getting a better, you know, a bigger paycheck for writing a bigger premium. But yeah, it's just a little bit of planning on the front end. It's not fun. It's not exciting, you know.
But it doesn't take that long either.
Right. It doesn't. And, you know, we do a lot of the work.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And have the skill set.
Right.
Because I don't know that any of us would really know what are we looking for? Like, sure, this policy looks good. You're like, well, maybe, you know, maybe not. Let's look at this. And are you prepared? I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm fascinated by who you are as a team and your goals and aspirations and how you framed everything, the intentionality in your business and the culture that you've created. And of course, the people that you serve sounds like it's just amazing. How can folks get a hold of you? Where do we find you on the web? And what does that look like?
Yeah, just Titan 911. So we keep it easy.
I love it. Yep. Yeah. And so Titan, okay, so Titan 911, and that's .com.
Right.
And you bought Titan Restoration. Did the name have a meaning when you took it on, and has that changed at all?
So yes, it did have a meaning when I bought it. So the guy I bought it from was a huge Oilers fan. And when the Houston sold the Oilers team, it moved to Tennessee. It became the Tennessee Titans. And so he called it Titan because of his Titans fan. And so that's where the name came from. We just kind of stuck with it. It's been a great name for us, or, you know, we're Titan Restoration of Arizona.
And there's strength in the word Titan.
Yeah, there's strength. There's a bunch of, there's a bunch of other Titans out there. There's a few solar companies and some other companies that have the same name. It is a great name, and it's served us really, really well.
Awesome. Any lasting thoughts as it relates to business owners? So let's talk from that perspective. This is Business Radio X, and a lot of our listeners are B2B. What tip can you leave our listeners to help them take their business to the next level? We've talked about a few things, so it might be summarizing that or a new thought, but any tip that you can leave our listeners with that would help them take their business to the next level?
Yeah, I would say be intentional. So have a plan and be intentional about what your growth strategy is and even your people strategy. And then I would say invest in your people for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Russ?
I agree with Rachel wholeheartedly. Also get a mentor, get somebody that's out there. You don't have to pay a consultant, but if you can, there's some great consultants. If not, there's some great mentors out there. There's some people that you can bounce some ideas with. Get a personal board or somebody that can kind of take a step back in your business and take a look at it. And so that's kind of what I would say. It's, get that team in place and get those people around you that can kind of help you be better and grow.
Well, you've clearly done that. And when you leave, if you want, I'm going to hand you that traction book and you're going to take that and read that. I think you're just simply going to go, done, check, 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 check. So,
well, yeah. We did what its sister company, which is the Scaling Up Gazelles. I don't know how they're related or whatever, but that's kind of the methodology that we took.
So, well,
that's
clearly it's embedded and it's ingrained. So, kudos to you. So, Rachel Stewart, Executive Vice President, and Russ Palmer, President of Titan Restoration, thank you both for being here. You can find Titan Restoration out on the internet at titan911.com. Thank you guys again for being here.
Thank you.
You bet. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki. Thanks for listening.